Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
I count it as a blessing to be here standing in front of you because I count it a blessing to be here. You wonderful people allow my wife and I to minister to your children, and we get paid to do it. If that's not a blessing, I don't know what is. So, since I have this opportunity, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to share a little bit before I go into my message, which is entitled Remembering Your Salvation, to talk about our children's ministry, very briefly. I want to let you know what's going on downstairs. So every month, the children of this church are presented with 10 questions. Those 10 questions, they learn throughout the month. And then at the end of that month, 5 of the questions remain, and we get 5 new questions. So every month, we're rotating through the questions. So what we cover, what these questions cover, are topics like the Bible, the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, prayer, praise and worship, the Ten Commandments, heroes of the faith, and the Bible. And I want to share a little story about something that happened just last week. We showed a video, and that video was about the shepherd. And this shepherd was lame, and he was bringing his sacrifice into Bethlehem for the Pharisee or the priest to examine and then sacrifice. So the shepherd brings his sheep in, and of course the other shepherds are not real nice to him. They're like, come on, hurry up. It's like, hurry up, he's lame. Why don't you guys help him? So he gets to the priest, and the priest examines the lamb and says, how dare you bring this animal to sacrifice? I told you a spotless lamb. And he said, if you ever do this again, I'm going to ban you from coming here. That's a pretty major deal in the Jewish religion. You can't come and bring your sacrifice? So the shepherd walks away sadly, and the other shepherds mock him. And so he goes back to the fields, and he's helping, watch the sheep. Back the other shepherds, because they were embarrassed by him, said, you go, you're sleeping with the sheep tonight. And you don't get to eat with us. You have to go eat your meal with the sheep. So then that night, angel appears to the shepherds and announces that the Savior has been born. And so the shepherds go to the nativity. They go to where Jesus is born, and they see Jesus in the manger. And they say, we've got to tell people. So they leave the scene, and they go to Bethlehem, through the streets of Bethlehem, shouting that the Savior has been born. And then this shepherd, lame shepherd, runs into that Pharisee, and he looks at the Pharisee, and he says, do you have a spotless lamb? And the camera zooms in on the shepherd, and he just smiles. And the scene cuts there. So I asked the children, why did the shepherd smile when asked if he had seen the spotless lamb? Had a spotless lamb, and the hands go up. And I call on the children, and they basically, as a group, say, because he saw the spotless lamb. Jesus was the spotless lamb. I got to tell you, folks, when you put a lot of time into something, an effort into something, and then see that they're getting it, that's pretty exciting. So the title of the, oh, there it is. Title of the message is Remembering Your Salvation. So let's go to Isaiah 43:1. Okay, it'll show up eventually. Isaiah 43:1. Very short. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now let me ask you. In life, there's things that are worth remembering, aren't there? There's things that happen in your life that you want to remember, that you're going to remember the rest of your life. Such as, I remember shaking like a leaf, walking up the aisle to marry my lovely wife. I remember very, very clearly the birth of our son David. I remember the birth of our daughter. I remember the birth of our granddaughter, who is sitting back there today, very clearly. But here's the deal. As life goes on, there's more and more stuff to remember. There's more things we forget. But some things really stand out, don't they? And sometimes you have something happen in your life and you go, I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life. Well, such an event happened to me when I was in seventh grade. I was in math class and I was making C's, just kind of getting by. And I don't know how many of you know, but I have a degree in mathematics from Purdue University. Usually people with degrees in mathematics aren't making C's in seventh grade math. Well, I was. And my teacher called me up to her desk after class. Said, Jack, I got to tell you something. Like, what I do this time? Be honest, I was always getting in trouble. Can anyone picture that I was the class clown? Go figure. And she looked at me and she said, you have a gift, young man. Your gay grades might not reflect it, but you are gifted in mathematics, and you need to do something with it. I never forgot that day. I was like, I'm gifted in mathematics? Turns out she saw something in me that no one else saw. And turns out the harder the math got, the better I got. Really cool. That was a really positive event in my life. She was taking life and pouring it into me, wasn't she? Let me ask you, in the world today, in your life, how many times do people pour life into your life? Isn't it a negative world out there? You're wrong, you're stupid, you can't do it, who do you think you are? Isn't that the message? And when someone pours life into your life, doesn't that just kind of slap you? Wow, this is awesome. Well, we're going to be talking about this guy right there and the life he has or wants to pour into your life. Because we need it. We need life pouring into our lives. Sometimes we don't even need help to put ourselves down. We can do it ourselves. So let's look at this verse. He says off at the top that I am breaking everything up here. I hope I didn't disconnect something. If they start playing and you don't hear music, it's my fault. I have redeemed you. I have redeemed you. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Is it hard to look around the world and see that that's true? Is it hard to find a fallen world? There's death, there's pain, there's people striving for power, and they're willing to step over anybody to get it, or even kill anyone to get it. The Bible also says, the wages of sin is death. Well, there you go, Jack. That's uplifting. Thanks. But you don't have to look too far to see that that's true either. Yep. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. But this guy, this Jesus, he says, I have redeemed you. Does the world say that? He says it. I have redeemed you. And how did he redeem you? He bought your life by paying a price. And that price was his life. Now let me ask you, is that pouring life into your life? To redeem someone by giving your life? I have redeemed you. I paid the price for your rebellion. I paid the price for your sin. I paid the price for your faults with my own life. Then he says, I have called you by name. Called you by your name. Psalm 139:13 says, For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Anybody in here knits? Anybody knit? Any knitters? No knitters. We have a knitless church. Did you know that, Pastor Rick? We have a knitless church. Well, let me ask you this. Let's think about it. Knitting. If you're going to knit a scarf, if you're going to knit a hat, if you're going to knit a sweater, do you have to know what you're doing to turn it into a sweater? Do you have to have a plan? Do you have to have direction? Do you have to have purpose in doing that knitting? Yes. Well, guess what? You were knit together. That is not random. That is not chaotic. That is purpose. You were not thrown together. Says right in Psalm 139, you were knit together. With a purpose and direction and a plan. You are known, not thrown together. If you make something, like I have, back in my old days, I write a computer program. Do you think I knew that program? Do you think I knew that if something went wrong, I knew exactly in the code where to go? Yeah. I was so intimate with it, I could just get on the screen, it's right here, there's the mistake, geez, what was I thinking? That's how it is with you and God. He intimately knows you. And yet, he knows you, he knows your faults, he knows your mistakes, he knows the things that you have done that aren't so great, and yet he still says, you ready for this? You are mine. And he's not ashamed to say it. You are his. So what spurred all of this is a few months ago, about a year ago, Mary and I invested in a series called The Chosen. And I joke, as you see this, and you see, like, the dirt on the ground that they're walking on, that's what our money bought. We bought the dirt. But 18,000 people invested in this, and we got to see the first few episodes. And it really spoke to me. It's crowdfunded. It's available. I might as well talk about it. You can go on your phones and download the Chosen app. And you can watch, stream all 8 episodes of the first season for free. I highly recommend you do it. Now, I knew I was lost, I knew I was wrong, and I knew I had sinned. And yet, I heard his voice in 1980 tell me, I have redeemed you. I called you by name. and you are mine. As you watch this video, think about your life before he touched you. And if you really don't know what I'm talking about, what is this remembering my salvation? As you watch this video and listen to my words, know that this can be yours. Because he's calling your name too. So here we have the story of Mary Magdalene. The Bible says this about her. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. Luke 8:2. So what you are about to see is a fictional account of what happened to Mary Magdalene. Because we don't know about her story, because the Bible doesn't tell us. But we do know that she has an encounter with Jesus. He casts demons out of her, and she follows him. In fact, she was one of the women who was there at the tomb when he rose from the dead. So what the creators of The Chosen have done is they've filled in the backstory. And the reason I picked Isaiah 43:1 is because in this story they've created for her, Isaiah 43:1 plays a large role in it. It shows her being taught this verse by her father using this verse in her life to encourage her and uplift her. So as you watch, recall where you were and what you were doing when he called you and redeemed you. And if you have no idea, watch this and realize that this can be your story too. Hit the video.
Papa?
She's sleeping, little one.
Can't sleep.
Sit down. Sit down. Is your head hurting you again?
No.
I know. You are thinking of the big new star. Hey, look, it's right there. You see?
No.
Why can't you sleep?
I'm scared.
Of what?
I don't know.
Hey, what do we do when we are scared?
We say the words.
Adonai's words. From the prophet?
Isaiah.
The prophet Isaiah, right? Thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Come now, I won't hear you sing. I won't hear your pretty voice. Come.
Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
You are mine. That's right. Words. Thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not.
Thus said the Lord, who formed you, O Jacob, and he who created you, O Israel. Fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed.
Lily, you are alive. We heard there was trouble. Come, sit.
I can't stay long.
I know. Please, sit.
Fresh off the boat from Cyprus.
No, I don't have the strength.
Calm down. You know what they say. A morgue or prevention?
There is no preventing this, Saul. There is no cure.
Come on, Lily.
It's getting worse. No, I am in hell.
I'm sorry. Please, just try.
I brought you something. For your nephew. I'm one of your nephews.
Thank you. Looks like it was loved for a very long time.
It used to hold something valuable. I don't need it anymore.
You're beginning to scare me.
You and everyone else. Thank you. There's something I need to do.
So, did it work? I'm sorry, Lilith. I don't know what else I can do to help you.
Give me that. Lots of it.
That's not going to solve your problems. It's meant to distract from
them. No more preaching. Just give it to me.
Lilith, please listen to what I'm
saying. Oh.
Lily. Lily. Lily, are you okay?
I have to go. Leave me alone.
Mary.
Mary of Magdala. Says the Lord who created you, and he who formed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
Every time. Look at how hopeless Mary felt. She had torn up the verse her father gave her. It was like she was tearing up her past. She gave away her childhood Tao. It was over. It was finished. There was no power in her past. There was no power in that word. Her father was gone, and she had no power over her life. The verse was meaningless. She went to a cliff to throw herself off because there was no hope. But God had a plan for her, and he was not done with her. Just like he was not done with her, he wasn't done with me. He's not done with you. Those words her father's, sorry. Father spoke to her when she was a child. Came to life when Jesus spoke them to her. They were no longer just words. They were now reality. A reality that was filled with love, acceptance, forgiveness, and victory. Her life was never going to be the same. He looked at her and said, Mary, I have redeemed you. She stopped in her tracks. Jesus then used her given name, which she was not doing. She was hiding. He said, Mary of Magdala, He did not say her name. He said it as someone who knew her, loved her, and she turned to receive her healing, love, and acceptance she so desperately needed. Watching this every time takes me back to that day when he changed my life, when I was lost and unlovable, when I was full of so much sin. Jack, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. He said my name with such love and affection. And then the part that I still have trouble grasping. In spite of everything of who I was, he said, you are mine. Take your bulletins and look on the back. Write your name in that blank. Let's just take a moment. Read it to yourself. Whatever your name is, and read that verse to yourself. While the band plays Reckless Love, a song that talks about how he pursues us in spite of ourselves, that there is nothing that can separate us from his love. Reflect on that moment of salvation when he called you by name. He said, you are mine. And know that he has redeemed you. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, what happened to Mary Magdalene can happen to you this morning. He calls your name. He died for you. He's redeemed you. You are his.
What were the emotions that ran through your minds and your hearts before you found Jesus? See, that's the question. And for some of you, it may have been as a child, but there was probably a point in your life where you felt no worth, still he paid it all for you, or where you were dealing with fear. And you found his peace. This is what Jack is wanting us to do, to reflect on those feelings, because when we once again reflect on those feelings, we can also reflect on the change that he made. What were your feelings? Were they fear? Were they feelings of no worth? Those were my feelings as a young adult. Wasn't going to amount to much, didn't have much of a future, couldn't figure out life, couldn't figure out myself. But God reached out. I just want you to close your eyes for a second and let the feelings come once again. And then thank God, thank Jesus for redeeming. And maybe this morning, you actually have some of those feelings. You really don't know why God would want you or want you back. Because you sort of violated everything that you knew you shouldn't do. Or at least some very specific things. That you'd said, no, I'm not going to do that, but you violated it and you came this morning. He still says, fear not. And then you can put your name in there. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. And then this next statement, I want you to just imagine him smiling when he says it. You are mine. It's not a burden for Jesus, and he doesn't regret redeeming you or calling you back after you've stepped away from him. See, it's the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. He is love. And so that's how he feels towards you and towards me, no matter what you are feeling or have felt.
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you are not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m., and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.